Good afternoon, everybody. We are here with this edition of the Coach's Corner. We are talking to Mike LaRosa, the baseball coach at Westchester. Coach, how are you doing this afternoon?
Great, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Big win for the Phillies.
Yeah.
To lead off the Major League Baseball playoffs. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Phillies, not only their chances, but kind of knowing, I think Rob Thompson knew that he was going to be facing a lot of lefties because that's what people try to do to neutralize Schwarber and Harper. But kind of your assessment of this series, was it a tougher matchup, do you think, than probably some of the teams they could have gotten?
I definitely think it is, given what you said, just all the lefties on their staff, you know, and with the way the lineup is built for the Phils and all the power hitting lefties, it really does neutralize that a little bit. And it showed last night. They didn't hit a home run, but they were able to scrap some runs and steal some bases and kind of do some things well that, you know, got them an early lead and then stuck with it. So, but I don't think it's going to be high scoring games this series, and hopefully tonight's the last of it and the Phillies finish it off. But I just think because of that, you know, the Phillies pitching staff is really going to have to be the X factor that kind of keeps them in it, because I just think that runs are going to be really hard to come by for the Phils.
Now, you say you hope the Phils finish it off. Mm-hmm. That will mean Joey Wendell, Westchester grad, might have a quick exit from the playoffs.
Yeah.
He did get in defensively, I think, at the end of that game.
Yep.
It's good to finally see him get back in the playoffs. I think he's been in the playoffs probably more years than he has.
I mean, I think the guy's proven he's just a winner everywhere he goes. So, hopefully, you know, I hope Joey gets the start tonight, and I hope he hits for the cycle, and I hope the Phils win. So, we're rooting big time for Joey. Absolutely rooting for him. But I think most of the guys in our locker room are definitely rooting for the Phils overall.
So to put you in kind of maybe John Wathan's shoes last night, first inning, runners on second and third, fly to right. Do you send Schwarber?
So,
or do you think it wasn't Wathan's decision? Do you think Schwarber held on his own?
No, I thought it was. And I actually thought holding him in that spot was the right decision. I think if he gets, in hindsight, it's always 20-20.
Yep.
You saw the throw. You saw he would have scored.
Yep.
And I realize it's a tough throw to make, but Schwarber's not a good runner. They kind of had the starter on the hook there, and his pitch count was getting elevated early, which is really what they wanted and needed. And if he gets thrown out at the plate there, I think it just kills that rally. I realize they didn't score a run that inning, but you know, I just think if he gets thrown out there, it's such a momentum swing early versus you've got Harper coming up, you know, and if you're sitting there second and third with one out and Harper up or runner on second, two outs, it's two different things. Like I would anticipate Harper's going to put a ball in play. He's going to score that run from third. He didn't, and it didn't work out. But I think it's an unpopular opinion, but I do think it was the right call given the circumstances and the situation, how early in the game it was and everything else. Just because I just think if he gets thrown out there, then everybody would be bashing him that was a really bad move, you know. So I do think it was the right call.
I think you're right, too, with the hindsight's 20-20. They see the throw, and they're like, oh, he would have made it.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't know that
exactly until
the throw is made.
No, that's exactly right. And in that spot, you've got to be really sure that he's going to be safe. You know, you definitely don't want to make that out and kill a rally at home plate, you know. So
now put yourself in Thompson's shoes again. You're up 1-0. Mm-hmm. You've got to win one of the next two. Former baseball coach here at Westchester, Jad Prakniak, he always used to tell me, if I was in a best of three and I had that doubleheader the second day, now there won't be a doubleheader for the Phillies, but it's like I always played that second game like it was a do or die, because he felt like most of the time if you lost that second game, you were going to lose the third.
Yeah, so I believe that, especially when you're playing two in one day. I just think that you keep that momentum.
Yeah. A little bit different playing
for sure.
One game a day.
Definitely different. And, you know, if you're playing in an elimination game, it's really all hands on deck. When you're not, you can be a little bit more particular with the moves you make, especially in the bullpen. You can be more aggressive, I think, from an offensive standpoint.
Is the starter on a longer
standpoint.
Leash, too, if you're not the team in an elimination game?
Yeah, I would think so. Your starter's on a little bit of a longer leash. You know, because when it's you lose and the season's over type situations, then like every move becomes just ultra critical at that point. I still think you're in the driver's seat. You're up 1-0. Yeah, like this game matters a lot, obviously. But I do think you can be a little bit more conservative with the decision making versus being on the other side of it, where it's just every decision, every move is critical because it could end your season. So, you know, I don't care who you ask. I just think any manager, like, that's always in the back of their head. It's just human nature, in my opinion. Yeah.
So now some decisions you had to make a couple of years ago in the regional.
Yeah.
How long do you stay with Braden Fasnacht against Seton Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Do you come back with Fasnacht in the next game, and how many innings do you put on him?
Yep.
If you're Skip Schumacher, when do you say, hey, look, I might have to go to some of my starters to give me some innings here?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that. I wonder if that's going to be their move, because their bullpen is pretty tough. They got some tough lefties in their bullpen still too. And Braxton, who's starting tonight, is another tough lefty. So I kind of think that he's probably a guy that they're going to try and roll and extend. Unless he gets into a lot of trouble early, I would have to imagine they're going to try and get 5 or 6 out of him as well. And I would think on the flip side of Philly's strategy has to be to elevate his pitch count early and get into that bullpen early, which they were able to do last night. So, you know, I think the way they're built might be a little bit different. Certainly in college baseball, bullpens aren't as deep, you know, so you kind of use your starters in more flex roles once you get in the postseason, and definitely elimination games. You don't see it as much, especially this early in a 3-game series. Once you get into those 5- and 7-game series, you start to see those guys come back on shorter and shorter rest.
Yeah. So, assuming now that the Phillies do finish off the Marlins, whether it be tonight or tomorrow, what are your predictions for them? How far can they take this?
So I think the Braves are the big hurdle. I know they won the last series there in Atlanta, which was big, and that's gonna have to be something that's in the back of Atlanta's minds. But they are just really good. They're a dynamic team in all facets of the game. So I think that's the hurdle. If they can get past the Braves, I do firmly believe the Phillies have a legitimate chance at winning the World Series this year. I think the Braves are the best team in baseball, and that's who they're going to have to deal with next. So that's where it's going to, you know, that's going to be a really tough series. But you know, the Phillies were kind of in that spot last year too. I didn't expect them to beat the Braves last year. I don't think anybody did. To make that run last year was unexpected and, you know, kind of unprecedented for them. So now they got that experience, and that's good. And, you know, the Braves are an experienced organization as well. And I think that series will be an exciting one for sure.
So do you notice in the playoffs, I think I've noticed the last few years, and maybe because the Braves do this a lot, the regular season is almost played differently than the playoffs in terms of strategy, where in the playoffs, you'll see a lot more stolen bases. Yeah. You'll see a lot more first to thirds, where in the regular season, maybe they don't do that as much. The regular season is all about the long ball and how many home runs you can hit almost. Do you kind of see that shift in philosophy in a lot of teams?
Yeah, it's so,
every run matters.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to me that you would play to win in a different manner in the playoffs. If that just tells me if it works, why not do it in the regular season too? That's the part I don't understand, and I haven't been able to get a straight answer from pro guys on that. Like, truthfully, yeah, I mean, just the bunt game, the stolen bases, you see all that come out more in the postseason, which tells you that they're still playing percentage and odds. You know, they have all that data. So why is it different in the regular season? That I don't understand. but that's why playoff baseball gets exciting, because you kind of get back to the roots of the game a little bit more. It's more pure, and you know, you kind of see some strategizing and things that you don't see in the regular season, which makes it exciting.
So now switching gears a little bit to the American League, I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan.
Gotcha.
So I want to know what your thoughts are on the Orioles, top seed in the East.
Yep.
Do they have a shot at the series, even with a pitching staff that probably is past their typical innings in a season?
Yeah, they kind of seem like a destined team this year. So that's my pick to end up in the World Series for sure. Especially, you know, putting up the record they did in the AL East, such a tough division, is really impressive. And their record in division was really good. And they just seem like a team that enjoys playing together. You know, they kind of have one of those like storybook seasons going on. And I think that stuff matters a lot once you get into postseason play, and especially when you're playing at home. So they're an exciting team to watch too. I actually, I don't really have an AL team that I'm a favorite of, but watching the Orioles this season has been a lot of fun. Like that's definitely a team I'll be rooting for in those AL games for now. Yeah.
And so you're going on record as saying it's a 1983 World Series repeat.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. Yep. Sounds good to me.
This time with a different outcome for the Phillies.
I love it. Yep. Sounds great.
All right, Coach. Now, switching gears to your team, we don't want to completely discount the fact that you are coaching Westchester. What has this fall been like? What have you seen from some of the new guys? Did that get you excited for next spring?
Yeah, it's actually been a great fall so far. Our team has the new guys, I think, have mixed really quickly and well with our returners and kind of bought into our culture here and a lot of things that we do. And in our first month through September, we just saw a lot of the good things, a lot of growth happen. Definitely got better really quick. And for these guys, the biggest thing that stands out, like, we've got some talent, but I just think across the board, our baseball IQ is really, really high. So it makes coaching a lot more fun because these guys are able to take new concepts, learn them, and implement them pretty quickly. And that's kind of what we've seen. So I do think we have a lot of depth this year, definitely on the mound. And that was our struggle last year. We just didn't have that depth piece. And I think we've kind of fixed some of that. Definitely have more depth on the mound, definitely have more depth in the infield this year with some guys that we brought in. And, you know, there's some good position battles happening right now in the fall too. And I think that competition has made practice exciting. It's made the inner squads exciting because guys know they're competing for roles right now. And, you know, 2 years ago, that stuff was a little bit more figured out in the fall. You know, right now we got a lot of positions that are open, and, you know, guys are competing for jobs, and you know, it's made the intensity of practice, and it's definitely an inner squad. It's pretty high.
So now one person you lose, Luke Cantwell, mm-hmm. second all time in home runs, 30 yep. home runs in his career.
Yep.
Does your philosophy switch a little bit and say, hey, look, a double in the gap is just as good as a home run?
Yes, definitely. You know, Luke, just an outstanding hitter, numbers he put up. You're just not filling those shoes, not in the same way.
Yeah.
And, you know, the philosophy has kind of slowly evolved. You know, 2 years ago, we had a lot of juice, a lot of power on the roster, a lot of speed. You know, last year was kind of a mixture. Now we've kind of some of those power guys, Mike Ferreras, the Luke Cantwells are gone now. And yeah, we kind of have to adapt a little bit. And I think our style of play on the offensive side is going to adapt. Now, you know, the hope is that the swing and miss goes down, our strikeout numbers go down. And we've got some guys that have good barrel control and contact rates and everything. And I think that should help us, you know, with competitive at bats overall. And even if the power numbers, you know, the home run numbers might take a dip a little bit, just having lost some of those guys. I do think we've got guys with good bat control that are going to get on base a lot and, you know, hopefully be able to split the gaps and run and do all those things well. So it'll be a little bit of a different style of play for us than the typical Westchester offenses over the last few years, but I'm excited about it, you know, and I think that change is also good because opposing teams, especially in the league, aren't going to be prepared for it as much. Whereas I kind of did see last year, they were a little bit more prepared for our offensive style, you know, across the league. And I think, you know, for us to continue to excel and succeed, we had to change some things. And you know, that's kind of the direction we're headed.
And so is John DiMucci ready for, is he going to be the full-time catcher, or do you have somebody else that can come in and kind of take up some of those innings? I know Mooch is really good at stealing. He's real good on the bases.
Yeah.
Sometimes being a full-time catcher can wear on you.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Mooch got hurt over the summer and hurt his shoulder and had surgery at the end of the summer on his labrum. Now, he should be back by the beginning of the season. In what capacity is still to be determined. It could be early, a DH role for him. And then as he, you know, gets his arm healthy, he'll be back behind the dish. I think prior to that, I would have told you, yes, he was ready to be the full-time catcher, and he would have caught 75% of the games. We're fortunate we've got a transfer that came in from Brookdale Community College, Darius Trochet, who is really good behind the plate. And he's going to definitely, like, eat up some of those innings, especially early, because we're not going to have DiMucci back. And then, you know, our Jack of all trades, Joe Kalik, is going to go back behind the dish for now. So we just keep moving him around the field.
Well, he came in as a catcher.
Came in as a catcher. Went to left field.
He goes out as a catcher too, right?
Went to left, then third, now back behind the dish. So, you know, those two guys, Trochet and Kalik, are gonna be the main, like, 1A, 1B behind the dish for us at the start of the season. And then when we get Demucci back, I think that'll kind of be really good for us, because it'll probably become, you know, the second half of the season and a point in the season where we're going to kind of inject some life in there. So so that'll be exciting. And, like, but Kalik and Trochet are really, really good too. So I think we're, you know, not missing a beat too much back there.
That's good. And they're working well with the pitchers. Is it mm-hmm. tough on the pitchers to get used to new receivers back there?
You know, it doesn't seem tough. And I think both, you know, Kalik obviously is a veteran, you know, like he's been here a long time. So he's got good feel back there. He's got good relationship with all the staff and everything. Trochet's, you know, when you talk about a new guy, he's the one new guy really. And he's learning them. And he's another guy with a really high IQ though. Good feel and instincts behind the dish. So I do think he's blended pretty quickly with the staff. It seems like those guys are, you know, doing great with both those guys behind the plate. So, I think that should be a pretty seamless transition.
And so, Kyle Lazor missed a year. Yep. Is he coming back to the team? Do you see how his development's coming?
Yeah, he's back. He's 100% healthy now. So it'll be great to have him back in the back end of the bullpen. But now he's healthy again. He's just getting his arm strength back up, but he's pitched live this fall a couple of times and is back on the mound fully. And I think by the spring he should be back to, you know, 100%. Now he's 100% healthy. He just doesn't have his velocity back all the way yet. And, you know, I think by the springtime he will. So it'll be great having him, you know, in the back end of the bullpen again. You know, we saw what he was able to do 2 years ago he's just so tough to face with his arm slot and the movement he gets that, having him back will be huge. And, you know, this year we go to the 4-game series again. Yeah. So doubleheader Friday, doubleheader Saturday, all 7-inning games. So Lazor's a guy that really can shorten games, especially in the 7 innings. You know, you can bring him in a long relief or just a closer role. And
he can affect all 4 games in a weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you look at that, calls to mind McLean on the 2017 team. You know, watching that team, I wasn't here, but watching that team, kind of looking back at his numbers, I mean, he was in a lot of games and definitely in the World Series. I think he threw in every game, and just having a guy like that, you know, that's such a difference maker. So Lazor kind of is in that type of a role, and it'd be exciting having him back.
Yes,
for sure.
McLean in that World Series coming in, bases loaded, nobody out.
Yeah, I remember watching
that. He gave up one run on only 3 pitches and got out of the game. I remember Coach Prakniak was like, I'll take that every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those guys are so valuable. And
even
they're hard
closer
to home
in the sixth inning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those guys are hard to come by. So, you know, you see the value there. And, you know, just you saw it on that 2017 team, big time.
Mm-hmm. All right, Coach. Well, hey, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And good luck this spring. The fans are certainly excited to see your team get out there again on the diamond.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right.